Those of you that have been around here know that we've been going on a series called Families Under Fire. And I wanna say two things right from the get-go here. Today I'm talking about husbands and wives from Ephesians chapter 5. I'll invite you to turn in your Bible to that. But if you're not a couple today, if you're a single person, that's okay. We're glad you're here. And you recall a couple of weeks ago we looked at 1 Corinthians 7, and Paul has a great deal to say about being single. And for this season of your life, let me just say this to you that are still single or are single. Don't force anything, but rest in the living God and let Him move. Let Him decide for you. Let Him lead you. But we're glad you're here. And I just pray that as we talk about husbands and wives, we can all take a little something from the Lord, from His Word today. And so let me get right at the Scripture, because we're going to have communion later this morning and we've got this little survey. So I want to get right into the Scripture, and I want to share a little bit about this role of husbands and wives together. And you, like I said, you might be single here today and you might think, well, Jim, that's really not relevant to me. Well, I hope that there's something here that is relevant to you. I hope that as you worship our King, our Father in heaven, there is something here that maybe it's already been there in a song or something in the Scripture. I hope that the Spirit of God touches your heart in a special way today. Ephesians 5, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and I'm going to set the stage a little bit for us in just some one-liners. Paul is good in Ephesians 5 here with some one-liners. And so I'm going to lay out some one-liners for you from him, and then we're going to turn to the 22nd verse, and we're going to embark on this arena of marriage and husbands and wives and love and respect and Christ and the church and all this stuff that he's got packaged up here in a few verses. But here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says this. I told you this last week. Therefore, be imitators of God. And so he begins to set the stage early on. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to believers, and he begins to set the stage again in this chapter, and he said, be imitators of God. Verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. A little bit like what we've been talking about. We claim the name of Jesus, then let us walk like Jesus. That's what Paul is simply saying here. Walk as children of light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, New King James says. In other words, be careful. Do not be foolish, but be wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. One more one-liner. In verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so he lays out all these one-liners, and I like to package these all up and build them and set them out here as a foundation when we dive into husbands and wives in verse 22. So we've already got it. Be imitators of God. Walk as children of light. See that you walk carefully. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord. And then we get to verse 22. Let's take off and embark on those verses. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he, that's Jesus, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 28, again, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, Paul writes, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now let me say something here right off the get-go. Have you seen Truth Project, any of you? Some of you have. Have you seen all of the Truth Project? In the Truth Project, a lot of you have not. We're going to show that here again at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights this winter. But in the Truth Project, Dr. Del Tackett from Focus on the Family talks extensively about this idea of submit. And a matter of fact, when we get to this session that he's talking about this, he comes up to a young lady, college-age student perhaps, maybe 20s, and he comes up to her and he said, "What do you think of that word submit?" And right away, because again, culture has formed us and molded us and shaped us, right away walls began to go up, and she looked at it as a negative kind of a thing. And he began to tear down that idea of it always being negative, because our society, you see, has implied that this word means something negative, something like obedience or something that is unfair. And that's what society has pinned on this. And yet when we see the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, we don't look at that submission as negative, do we? When Jesus was here on earth, he was incarnate, he was in the flesh, he was referring to the Father, and he was subordinate, if you will. We don't look at that as negatively. And when we consider ourselves, who are part of the body of Christ, in subjection, in submission to Jesus, who is the head of the church, we don't look at that as unfair, do we? I don't think we do, anyway. And yet sometimes we see this relationship, this word that's used in verse 22, as a downer, as a negative, as unfair. And I suppose I've heard this before, and I may hear it again today. "Well, Jim, that's because you don't feel it that way because you're not the wife." I suppose that's possible. But God has no intention in this being a downer, unfair, negative, or anything else. And so let us continue to embark on this idea of love and respect, and let us establish some things straight away. Paul is talking to believers, people in the church, Spirit-led. Paul is talking about God's design for humanity, a man and a woman. Said it in Genesis. Jesus said it in the gospel. Paul just reiterated again today. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one." Paul is talking about God's design for humanity. Do you remember the account in Genesis? When God created Adam, he looked at him and he said, this is a highlight in one of the first issues of the Truth Project too. He said, "It is not good." You remember that? Work with me here. Do you remember? Anybody remember that? Yes. He said, "It is not good." And what he meant is, it's not good that man should be alone. Because that's what the phrase ends with. And so we look at this design for man and woman to come together is God's design from the very beginning. And Paul is quite simply talking about God's design for humanity. He's talking about a man and woman who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the Father so much that their love for each other is radiated out of that love for the Master. That's what he's talking about here. He is talking about being, did you notice in verse 30, a brother and sister in Christ. He's not talking about abuse, ungodly behavior, or lording it over our spouse. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about genuine love and respect towards one another that work hand in hand within our marriage. Have you looked at 1 Corinthians 13 lately? Have you been reminded the definition of love? Because 1 Corinthians 13 does a very nice job of defining love when it says it's patient, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's forgiving, it doesn't keep any record of wrongs. It does a very nice job of reminding us what love is. And so we've got this working together, this respect and love working together. And let me throw out some things. These are not one-liners from Paul. These are one-liners from Jim. So if you disagree with somebody, it's Jim, not Paul. Here's what I think. If a husband cannot, does not, or will not love his wife, then what respect does he deserve? That's a question for us to ponder. If the husband cannot, does not, or will not love his wife the way the Bible instructs us to do, then what respect, we saw that word too, what respect then will be offered to Him? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, a whole lot of folks, a whole lot of men demand respect and yet show no love. I've seen it. A whole lot of it going on. That's not God's design. A whole lot of commanding and demanding respect and giving no love is not what Paul said here. And so then I flipped the coin over and I said, if a wife cannot, will not, or has not respected her husband, then what kind of love will she receive? You see what Paul is working on here? That love and respect scenario, this is a two-way street, folks. And it revolves, I believe, it revolves around love, compassion. I've told you this before. Some of you that were here 4 years ago, when I talked about families under fire, I told you that there was surveys done in the 80s, there was surveys done around 25 years later. I told you what a woman needs. Remember that, some of you? I told you what a man needs. This is what the surveys have told us. And they didn't change. Even in 25 years, it's the same results. And so listen to me, fellas, for a minute. A woman's greatest needs are these: the comforts, the compassion, the caressing, if you will, and the conversation of a man she knows loves her. And in other words, she just wants to see and feel that she is loved. Genuinely loved, not superficial. She wants to see and to feel that she is loved. Women have different needs than men. They need to sense they're loved. And that's what Paul is saying here. You know, I read a book about Tony Evans, and I've heard Tony Evans on Christian radio. Anybody heard Tony Evans? He's a great guy. My wife has heard Tony Evans, and she likes this quote. She likes very well this quote. He says, "Men, when you come home, the first thing, perhaps after kissing your wife and greeting her in a pleasant way, is this: how may I serve you?" See why my wife likes it? She's back there hooting and hollering. But listen to me, fellas. You say, "Jim, you got to be kidding me. I just spent 11 hours at the factory, 12 hours in the hayfield, whatever, doing this, doing that, and you expect me to come home?" Brothers and sisters, if we want a respect that's genuine, if we want a respect that's genuine, we need to show her, "I care for you." And that's why he says quite simply, our first words when we come home should be to her, "How may I serve you?" I've actually said that a couple times. You can ask my wife. I've actually asked her that. And we need to mean it, of course. Now, ladies, a man's greatest needs are these. The surveys have revealed the same thing over the last 25 years. Intimacy with his wife, companionship, and to feel he is respected. Now, it doesn't take too much science or too much conversation about the first one. We know what that is. But the second one, companionship. A man loves to have his wife right beside him, whatever he's doing. I give the example earlier this morning. My son, some of you guys, did you know it was early goose season started yesterday? Who knew that? Who's a goose hunter? Some of you knew. Some of you ladies knew. Outstanding. You're probably in the goose blind. My son drug his beloved into the goose blind yesterday and said, "You run the video while we do the shooting." That's companionship, that poor young woman. But that's what a man loves about his beloved. My wife used to sit on the tractor when my first job, I was managing a farm, and we didn't have a lot of time together. I was milking cows at 5:20 in the morning, and I was still there at 6:30 at night. But companionship took some place on the riding in the tractor. And that's what a man so loves about his wife, to be companions and to be respected. And folks, When a wife degrades or belittles or corrects us or scolds us, particularly in public, but even in private, it tramples our masculinity and it begins to make us feel very, very unrespected and unworthy. And so you see how love and respect need to work so closely together. Wives, when you can, And let me emphasize this in a moment, because let me say it right now. If I, the husband, am breaking the law of God or the law of man, I shouldn't be respected. And so that's why I say, if I as a husband am in God's will and living by the Word of God, then I say, wives, please be His biggest ally. Please be His greatest supporter. He needs your encouragement. He needs to know he's feeling respected. Husbands, when we talk about love, she wants some of your time. Love equals time, too. I know we're busy, but this is our wife. And when he says, love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, he meant it. She wants some of your time, even when we are busy. She wants to know that she is important. She wants to see some of your tender feelings. Too often times we get in that mode that I call it that patriarchal caveman mode that just expects and demands. There's a tender side to you, men, and she wants to see that. She wants to know that. She wants to be around that at least some of the time. She wants you to rub her feet or her shoulders after a busy day. Some of you guys are laughing at me. Some of you guys don't know how to rub your wife's feet. That's why. She wants some flowers. I told the earlier service, I was right in here a couple of years ago having counseling with a young couple. And we were talking about the role of a man and the role of a woman. And I asked her, what do you like? She likes flowers. Lots of ladies like flowers. I looked at her and I said, brother, you ever buy her flowers? They looked at each other. We all knew the answer. No flowers. And I said, those are things that you can do to show I love you. You matter to me. He said, preacher, you're getting me in trouble here. Those little things, they don't have to be expensive. You can come alongside her when you say, how may I serve you, after you've been laboring and sweating all day at the factory or whatever, and say, can I help you in the kitchen? I tell you what, there's whole books written on that, brothers. There's whole books, and I'm not making it up when I say sex begins in the kitchen. There's a book on that. You don't believe me, some of you, but it's true. She wants to know you love her. He wants to feel, ladies, you respect him. And if we are seeking the face of God as men and following God and letting His Word mold who we are, we then can have that, receive that respect. We should. Let me go back. I'm running out of time quickly, but let me go back to that love bank scenario. Do you remember some of you? Some of you were here a couple weeks ago. Some of you were here 4 years ago. You remember I referred to the love bank scenario? We all, those of you that weren't, let me be really brief. We all have a need inside of us to be loved. And so we at home need to deposit into our spouse's love bank. Otherwise, we're going to go bankrupt. Because no deposits have been made. It's just like money. And so we need to make deposits into our spouse's love bank. Respect and love and compassion and caring go back and forth, and kind words and generosities, and all these things are contributing to our spouse's love bank. But you know what? If I go off to work like I did, I went to the factory for 20 years, and if I go off to work and I have not deposited anything into my wife's love bank, she's going to become bankrupt because I'm not making deposits in there. I'm not cheering her up. I'm not lifting her up. I'm not loving her. If I, on the other side of the coin, if I go to work and I'm saying, I'm handing out all kinds of pleasantries, I'm handing out all kind of comments, I'm handing out all kind of positive things to somebody else of the opposite sex, guess what I'm doing? I'm filling up her love bank. And if she is not getting it filled up at home, guess what? We are soon going to have more than just love bank connections. We're going to have an emotional bond that can lead then to emotionally fair affairs that then evolve to more than emotional, perhaps physical. You see the importance of depositing our love. We need to make our love bank deposits at home. We need to do that. Those can be simple little things, like I tell this to almost every couple and perhaps everyone. Little things that I marry, little things in your marriage like I love you and I'm sorry are big. They're a big deal. Don't be too proud to say I'm sorry. Don't be too macho to say I love you. They go a long ways. Make your deposits in the love banks at home, and things will go well with you, as the Bible says. Let me close up a couple things by saying this. Husbands, you know in chapter 6, we don't have time to look at that, but in chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 5, the word obey is used. That's not used in the husband and wife relationship. That's a different word. We oftentimes get this idea our wife is our slave or something, like he addresses in chapter 6 and verse 5. That's not the word he's using. And so husbands, she's not your slave. This is not new to us, but yet sometimes, unfortunately, we have that tendency. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden as a perfect complement to each other. A helpmate. Do you remember the word? A helpmate. He saw Adam as a perfect creation, but he was incomplete because he didn't have a helpmate that was emotionally and sexually compatible. And when he saw them come together, he saw them as helpmate, as friends, as lovers, and these things. And so, brothers, please don't think this is just my slave. Sisters, your husband should not be the brunt of your jokes. Even though sometimes I think we act like the joke. He deserves to see your respect if he is being led by God, being led by the Word. He deserves the respect that Paul's talking about here. He will never be the man of God that he can be if he's being belittled, the brunt of jokes, those types of things. He will never be the man of God that he could be if that's how he's treated. She will never be the woman, the lady of God, if she's not loved, that she could be. And let me build on that just for a minute. Men of God, are you the godly example in your home that the Bible instructs us to be? Are you giving her something to respect? Are you leading your home in Bible time, in prayer time? Is your example one that she looks forward to? He's taking our children to church. That's something to be respected. And so I'm simply saying, brothers, men of God, is your example something to be respected? Your godly example and your godly leadership is what she's gonna respect. Are you showing Christ-like love to the neighbor? Even the neighbor that doesn't, sometimes may not deserve it. Are you showing Christ-like love to your wife and children? Because if you're not, the respect isn't gonna be there. Women of God, are you encouraging your husband to be a spiritual leader in the home? Are you respectful of his decisions, assuming that they're within the scope of God's plan and God's will? Are you respectful of him? Are you able to address his physical desires and intimacy with you? Help him. Are you able to help him feel worthy of respect? Because if you are able to do these things, his genuine love will be shown all the more if the ladies are able to do this. Let me conclude with this. I tell this to young couples we're doing marriages for all the time. Marriage takes work. This is not new to us, right? Marriage takes work. It takes flexibility. It takes forgiveness. It takes compassion. It takes prayer. It takes love. And sometimes, you heard the statistics I laid out 4 weeks ago when we started this series, sometimes things still go really, really wrong. But when we apply these principles, these godly principles, things go better. I've told you about the statistics about things that infiltrate and tear families apart. Financial troubles are killing families today. It's one of the largest reasons for divorce. But it doesn't have to be if we'll let God mold us and lead us. Sexual infidelity is one of the largest reasons for divorce. But with godly people that are truly repentant and are seeking and giving forgiveness, divorce doesn't have to be a given in these scenarios. Last week we talked about a very difficult subject. We talked about pornography in the home. We talked about pornography in the church. And these are tearing apart families, but it doesn't have to. The adversary wants to tear people apart. He wants to tear families apart. He wants to tear Christians down. And so, folks, I'm just going to say this once more. You've heard me say it for a couple weeks already. Please do not let the world shape who you are. Let the Word of the living God shape who you are. Let the Word of God move you in your walk with Him. Direct you in your relationships to your wife or to your husband, to your children, to your boss. Let the Word of God shape who you are. I know some are here today with unbelieving spouses. I know some are here today with heavy hearts. I know some are here today with all manner of obstacles being thrown at you. Please let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Again, I would encourage you, if you're a single person, look at 1 Corinthians 7. There's wonderful instruction in there for you. Maybe this is right where God has for you, right where you God wants you to be right now. In couples, there's all kinds of counsel there. Folks, God ordained this wonderful thing called marriage, and the adversary wants to tear it apart. And so, let me just say again, don't let the world shape you. Let the Word of God shape you. Hang in there. Let us pray for you, and continue to keep your eyes on the Master. I'll close with this. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Marriages, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Couples, struggling or strong, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.